Talks with Sri Ramana Maharshi, 3 volumes in 1. Foreword by T.M.P. Mahadevan. The talks, first published in 3 volumes, is now issued in a handy 1-volume edition. There is no doubt that the present edition will be received by aspirants all over the world with the same veneration and regard that the earlier edition elicited from them. This is not a book to be lightly read and laid aside. It is bound to prove to be an unfailing guide to increasing numbers of pilgrims to the light everlasting. We cannot be too grateful to Sri Managala S. Venkatarama, now Swami Ramananda Saraswati. For the record he kept of the talks covering a period of 4 years from 1935 to 1939. Those devotees who had the good fortune of seeing Bhagavan Sri Ramana will, on reading these talks, become naturally reminiscent and recall with delight their own mental record of the words of the Master. Despite the fact that the great sage of Arunachala taught for the most part through silence, he did instruct through speech also, and that too lucidly, without baffling and beclouding the minds of his listeners. One would wish that every word that he uttered had been preserved for posterity, but we have to be thankful for what little of the utterances has been put on record. These talks will be found to throw light on the writings of the Master, and probably it is best to study them along with the writings, translations of which are available. Sri Ramana's teachings were not given in general. In fact, the sage had no use for lectures or discourses. His words were primarily addressed to the particular aspirant who felt some difficulty in his spiritual path and sought to have it resolved. But as the same difficulties arise in the quest after the self, and as the method of resolving them is the same, the Maharshi's replies to questions have the quality of universality. It is not all that can ask the right questions or frame them properly. The talks of the Guru, therefore, is not simply to answer to the point as in an examination paper. He is often to get behind the words that constitute a question and correct the questioner even in the matter of questioning. And when irrelevant and futile questions are asked, it is not his business to satisfy the idle curiosity of the questioner or confirm him in his delusions. Sri Ramana does not leave his interlocutor in the place where he was. As one of the devotees put it, quote, "All our questions are from our standpoint, and Sri Bhagavan's replies are from his standpoint. The questions are not only answered, but are also undermined," unquote. Various are the attitudes with which one may approach a saint: skeptics and agnostics, theists and atheists, seekers of miracles, and hunters of psychic phenomena. All used to go to the Maharshi. Each would naturally put questions that came uppermost to his or her mind, and the nature of the questions would depend on the attitude and interests of the person concerned. The glory of the Master lay in removing the attitudes and interests that were base and making the devotee long for realizing the supreme truth. Visitors to the ashram often used to put questions to Sri Ramana about occult powers and psychic phenomena. Is it not good to acquire occult powers such as telepathy? Is not the power to make one's body invisible a mark of mature wisdom? Can one read others' minds? The master's reply to all such questions was that the occult and the miraculous are not the spiritual. The supernormal powers are more hindrances than helps in the path to Supreme Spirit. Some questioners were interested in matters relating to the dead. What happens to the dead? Can one see them? Here again, Sri Ramana taught that these problems were irrelevant and that no seeker after the truth should be concerned with them. An aristocratic and distinguished lady visitor once inquired, "Maharaj Ji, can we see the dead?" The master replied, "Yes." The lady asked, "Can the yogis show them to us?" The master, "Yes, they may. But do not ask me to show them to you, for I cannot." The lady, "Do you see them?" The master, "Yes, in dreams." Sri Ramana's central teaching is self-inquiry. Instead of wanting to know this or that, seek to know the self. Ask, "Who am I?" instead of asking about 100 other things. Self-inquiry ought to be the easiest of all tasks, but it seems to be the most difficult because we have become strangers to ourselves. What one has to do is simple, to abide as the self. This is the ultimate truth. This is one's eternal, natural, inherent state. On account of ignorance, we identify ourselves with the not I. The most subtle of all these identifications is with the ego. Let us search for the root of the ego. Where from does this pseudo I arise? At the end of this quest, we shall find that the ego disappears, letting the eternal self shine. So the best discipline is the inquiry, "Who am I?" This is the greatest japa. This is the true pranayama. The thought, "I am not the body, naham," is exhalation, rechakra. The inquiry, "Who am I, koham," is inhalation, puraka. The realization, "I am he, soham," is retention of breath, kumbhaka. The fruit of self-inquiry is the realization that the self is all and that nothing else there is. For those who follow this method, no other sadhana is necessary. But even those who adopt the discipline of devotion, bhakti, reach the same goal. If one surrenders one's ego to either the guru or God, one realizes the self. Sri Ramana's teachings, as found in the talks, will bring hope to everyone. No one need think that he is beyond the pale of redemption. An old American visitor once told the master, "Maharshi, do you think we are bad boys?" The master's characteristic reply was, "Do not tell me so, but you need not think you are bad boys. Anything that is bad in us will surely be removed, if only we listen to the Maharshi's wise words that are recorded in the present book. And may we read it with a view to preparing ourselves for understanding the master's higher teaching, which was through silence." T.M.P. Mahadevan is the author, University of Madras, August 11th, 1958.